2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'd like to read one verse there in verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves, or examine your own self. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? We want to preach this morning on the subject, examine yourself, or the reality of salvation. The reality of salvation. We see here that the Bible says, examine yourself. It means to check your own experience to see if you're really saved. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe that we all should be able to do that today. It also says to prove your own self. And the word prove is also translated examine. Examine. So in other words, he's saying examine yourselves to see if you're saved. It also means to test or to scrutinize. To see whether a thing is genuine or not. And in this case, he's talking about salvation. To see if it's real. To see if it's genuine. In Matthew chapter 7, we'd like to look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the Lord encourages us over and over to examine ourselves to see if we're really saved. And I pray the Lord this morning will show each of us our true condition as we stand before the Lord. We see, first of all, that there must be a reality of time and place. There must be a reality of time and place. I believe a person is saved at a specific time and a specific place. You say, well, how do you know you were saved? One of the reasons I know I'm saved is I was there. I was there when it happened. I know where it was. I know how the Lord dealt with me. I know how He spoke to me. I was there when He granted me that repentance and that faith and that trust to trust Him as my Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit did a work in me that day that I was saved. And I believe that He does the same thing for every person that has ever been saved by the grace of God. He does a work in their heart. He convicts of sin. I believe also there must be a reality of self. A reality of self. In John chapter 16, in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 16, I'd like to notice verse 8. "And And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. There must be a reality of self. And I believe this will cause you to see yourself as you really are. And every person, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 1 through 3 there, is dead in trespasses and in sins. They're dominated by the world and the devil and the flesh. And so every person also has a deceived heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I believe that there will be a reality of self, that you'll see yourself as God sees you, lost without any hope, lost without Christ. And so there'll be a reality of self. You'll recognize and you'll realize who and what you really are. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. There's no middle ground to walk on. And so there'll be a reality of self. I believe also that there will be a reality of sin. As we see here in John chapter 16 in verse 8 and 9, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. So there will be a reality of sin. We notice here the word reprove means convict. He's going to convict of sin. And notice that sin is singular here. He's not talking about lying. He's not talking about stealing. He's not talking about drinking and murdering and adultery, but it's referring to the sin of unbelief. And I believe that's what verse 9 bears out here. Of sin, because they believe not on me. And the word on means to come to a point, a place, and time with a purpose. To come to a point, a place, and time with a purpose. So the Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring all of that about. And so I believe that there will be a reality of sin. And that's what the Lord showed me the day that He saved me. I always thought all of the drinking and all of the running around and all of the cursing and all of that was going to condemn me. But I found out that it was a sin of unbelief. The sin of not repenting of my sins and putting my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And when you stand before God, that's how you're going to have to stand before Him. We see also that there will be a reality of your lostness. The Holy Spirit does this work. Realizing that you're without hope. Realizing that you're without Christ. Realizing that you're without eternal life. What a thought. To be lost. Without hope. Without Christ. And without eternal life. But you can have that blessed hope this morning. You can have Christ this morning. You can leave here with eternal life this morning. Right now. And then there will be the reality of the Savior. There's many professors today that know about Jesus as Savior,
but have no reality of Him as being their personal Savior. Many professors. There's many today that have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have a head knowledge of the gospel. I had that. I believe that there was a God. I believe that there was a Jesus Christ. I believe that there was a heaven. I also believe that there was a hell. I believe that there was a Jesus Christ. But I did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But there come a day in my life when I believed that with all of my heart. I believed the gospel with all of my heart. I believed that Jesus Christ died, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day for me personally. There come a day and a time when I believed that with all of my heart. And when I did, that's when I was saved by the grace of God. When the Holy Spirit of God paid me a visit. And I believed that. I simply believed what the Word of God had to say about Jesus Christ and what He did personally for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe that. And that's what I'm depending on 100% to get me to heaven. I'm not depending on anything else other than what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. I'm depending and I'm resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I go to hell, I'm going to hell trusting Him. He said, well, Brother Jones, you'll never go to hell then. That's true. And so there will be the reality of the Savior. He is my personal Savior. He is my Lord. He is the Lord of my life. He's not only Christ to me. He is the Lord Jesus Christ to me today. He is my personal Savior. And there came a time in my life when all of this came about. I believe there will be the reality of repentance. There will be the reality of repentance. And I believe that repentance is a must to be saved. You don't hear much about repentance today. But I believe that this is a must. Repentance is a must. In fact, in the book of Luke, chapter 13, a very familiar passage of Scripture, in verse 3, in Luke 13, 3, he says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I believe that there will be the reality of repentance. There will be a time when you've repented. And I believe that repentance is more than just turning over a new leaf. It's a change of mind, which leads to a change of heart and a change of attitude. And a change of direction. It means to turn from sin. To turn from self. Turn from the world. And turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all brought about by the Holy Spirit of God. And you can only repent after godly sorrow. And I believe over here in 2 Corinthians bears that out very well. Look here with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And let's notice verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow keeps on working repentance. Let me add that too. Godly sorrow keeps on working repentance. To salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so you can only repent after godly sorrow. Holy Spirit conviction has produced repentance in your heart. And a person doesn't repent without knowing it. You don't repent without knowing it. Because that godly sorrow has worked in your heart. The Holy Spirit has worked that conviction in your heart, and it's a godly sorrow. It's not a head knowledge. It's not a historical faith. It's not an intellectual faith. It's godly conviction that the Holy Spirit of God works in our heart. And so for the first time in your life, you see that godly sorrow. When you see by the eye of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ bleeding and suffering and dying on the cross of Calvary for you, that works godly repentance. That'll work repentance. I never saw that before. It was like Brother Clark. He said, when the Lord saved him, he said he heard the gospel, and he heard it, and he heard it, and he heard it, and he heard it, and praise the Lord, one day he heard it. And I imagine that's the way it was with every one of us that was saved by the grace of God. We wasn't saved the first time we heard the gospel. You heard the gospel over and over. But then there come a time, and there come a day, and there come a moment when you really saw it. You repented of your sins. You saw that godly sorrow. You saw for the first time in your life that Jesus Christ really did go to the cross, and he bled, and he suffered, and he died, and he was buried, and he arose again the third day for your justification. And you believed that with all of your heart, and you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That godly sorrow worked repentance in your heart. So when you turn from sin and self and the world, you know it. You know it. And then there will also be the reality of trusting. The reality of trusting. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Turn over here a couple books to chapter 1. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians chapter 1, and let us notice verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Sinner friend, listen to me. If you're ever going to be saved, you are going to have to believe. Nobody is going to do that believing for you. Nobody can do that believing for you. And so he says here, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so there's the reality of trusting. They trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ after they heard the word of truth. And this means more than to just believe some facts about Jesus Christ. It means to commit to. It means to rely on. And it means to submit to Jesus Christ as your Lord. And we know the Holy Spirit is doing His work prior to all of this. We all know that. But there is the reality of also trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God." So this can only be done after faith has been given by the grace of God. Then I believe there will be the reality of assurance. The reality of assurance. Now, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. He says, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Assurance does not come from man or by man, but by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our quickened spirit that we are saved. Bears witness with our spirit. I left that church building that morning that I was saved. Drove about 2 miles, 3 miles probably. Got over to 127 in South Street Bridge. And the Lord gave me assurance that I had repented, that I had believed, that I had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I had assurance. You say, how was that? His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I was a child of God. And I believe this is the way that the Word comes to us. In 1 Thessalonians, turn over here to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Let us look at chapter 1 and verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So this is the way that the Word of God came to you. It came unto you in word, not only in word only, but it came unto you in power of the Holy Ghost. Now all of you that are saved by the grace of God, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It came unto you in power. The gospel came unto you in power. The Word of God came unto you in power. And it came unto you in much assurance. And everything that you believe, right up to this present moment, it all came unto you in power. Did it not? It wasn't just a bunch of words. That word came unto you in power. And it came unto you in much assurance. I remember the day that the doctrine of eternal security came unto me in power. Man, I thought that was the greatest doctrine that I'd ever heard. To know that I had the assurance of eternal life, that I could never lose my salvation, that I was saved forever. Man, that was such a comfort. And that was such a great doctrine to me. And it came unto me in power. And I can remember when the doctrine of scriptural baptism came unto me in power. And church truth came unto me in power. When I believed about what I believed about scriptural baptism and being a member of the Lord's church. Man, that was great. I mean, it came unto me in power. The Lord's Supper. I mean, all of those doctrines, they came unto me in power. And that conviction came unto me in power. And you may refuse to examine now. Or you may refuse to admit that you don't measure up after this examination this morning. But one day, when you stand before the Lord, if these things that we have spoken to you this morning are not present in your life. You will not measure up. And then he'll tell you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I believe those are some of the saddest words in the Word of God. And how sad that'll be. But it'd be too late to do anything about. Examine yourself. Examine yourself in the light of this message. Where do you stand in the light of this message this morning? You may be saying, well, none of these things are in my life. None of these things have ever become a reality to me. They can this morning. We that are saved, we need to examine ourselves to see if we're living according to the Word of God. I believe that we ought to live closer to the Lord every day we live. We don't get further away from the Lord, but we get closer to Him every day we live. And we need to examine ourselves to see where we are spiritually. And I believe every one of us here this morning that's saved by the grace of God, I believe that we all know exactly where we are spiritually. We know exactly where we stand with the Lord right now. Where do you stand? We're a day closer to His return. The Lord would come back in another 5 minutes. Where would you stand? That's serious, isn't it? Y'all believe He's coming back? Y'all believe He could come back in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? It isn't what brother and so-and-so is going to do. It's what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with this message? You say, boy, if brother so-and-so was here, man, he'd really got it. Isn't that the way we think a lot of times? This wasn't for me. This was for somebody else. The Lord told a bunch of church members here to examine themselves. He was telling these church members here at Corinth to examine themselves. How about it this morning? Has the Spirit of God paid you a visit this morning? In reality, all reality of this message, where do you stand? Let's stand and have a song of invitation. Are you saved? Have you made your calling and election sure? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt if you leave here this morning that you're going to heaven? Do you know that? What are you depending on to get to heaven? What are you depending on? Only you can answer that. I can't answer that for you.